It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Sleep tracking features may be coming to a future Apple Watch. Customer emails to Tim Cook really do help to develop the Apple Watch. There's a new activity challenge this week, and dumb burglars and the death of the Microsoft band, plus reviews of new ninth company watch bands and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 271, recorded Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. Rolling the dice.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, Tom. Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, and a little bit later in the week. We apologize. Just shifting schedules around here. We're on a Tuesday.
It's difficult sometimes.
Normally we like to do a Sunday or a Monday. And then Vincent, part of that reason he's not with us, he's out of town this week. I think he's in Vegas, isn't he, for a convention?
That's what he said, yeah.
That's the rumor. I don't know if that's true. he might be in Vegas for a different reason. You know, what happens there stays there. So I guess we can't ask him any questions when he gets back, right?
Well, he seems to go to all the places with the conventions, like what, Orlando and Vegas, right? Those are the two places he goes quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to places like Cleveland and.
Now wait a minute! You know I'm from Cleveland. You got to stop saying that.
I knew you would react to that. Okay. No, but actually, we are. We're going to Cleveland next month, I think. Yeah.
But well, you know what? I'll be in Toledo quite often. Maybe. Well, I know you're probably – you go wall to wall, so we probably don't have any time. But if I come through Cleveland, I'll look you up.
Okay, yeah. We'll see if our paths will cross. Interesting. So that's this week in travel. I have a quick programming note here. I had the chance to interview a developer by the name of Will Bishop. He's created a number of great apps for the Apple Watch, like Chirp, Nano for Reddit, and a new one called Mini Wiki. And it was a great interview, and we'll have that for you next week. So look forward to that. He's a great young guy. He's still in high school, and he's done he's done these amazing apps. He's 16.
Oh,
I know.
I'm sorry I missed that. I know you did it yesterday, and I really would have liked to have been part of that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking with him. Learning the story behind these apps was very interesting. So I'm going to put that all together for everybody next week. So we won't have a normal show next week. We'll have this special episode. But
that makes sense. His age tells me why he's worked on those apps.
Yeah. It's funny because I asked him specifically why he came up with each of these. And the reasons may surprise you a little bit.
Good.
Yeah.
I like
being
surprised.
Yeah. He's quite a kid though.
That's fantastic. 16 years old. It makes you think what you were doing at 16 years old, Tom.
I wasn't creating apps. That's for sure. So
I think I was trading baseball cards, which I don't think anyone does anymore.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I was, I think it was an art class trying to.
There you go. Yeah, that's good though.
That's all I was doing. I wasn't, I wasn't developing anything. Anything else you want to mention before we kind of go through?
No, let's jump in. We got some good stories.
Yeah, there's some interesting things happening this week. The first one here is this has to do with customer emails to Tim Cook. And we've heard of these in the past. We've talked about them in the past. But apparently, they've actually helped shape the Apple Watch development. You know, when Steve Jobs was at Apple, he was very famous for responding directly to some customer emails. That was a very famous thing. Well, currently, Apple CEO Tim Cook, people will occasionally receive responses from him. However, there's a report, this comes from CNBC, reveals that these emails, how they're processed, and they're often shared with other executives at Apple. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It isn't just Tim Cook taking in this information. According to people familiar with how the process works, Cook has an assistant whose job it is to read the mail, forward some to him for personal attention, and share others to a group distribution list of executives for the relevant teams. So they forward the letters to their reports and so on down the chain. So many of these Dear Tim letters are ultimately passed around by the rank and file employees. This is according to current and former employees as to what happens. So that makes a lot of sense.
It does. I wonder what the criteria is for each of those different items you talked about. And also, in the near future, why can't they just have AI do that?
Well, I don't know if you want AI responding to your...
Well, not responding, but parsing the emails out to back to Tim or to the other executives.
Well, they said that he has an assistant. The assistant's name may begin with S.
Well, you're right. right.
That's probably a future version of Siri. So that'd be funny. But apparently, what happened was after the Apple Watch had launched in 2015... you know, we talked about this many times, but it was promoted as, you know, communications, entertainment, health and fitness, all that sort of stuff. But all this stuff started pouring in from users describing how the device alerted them to potentially serious medical conditions and even saving lives. So after this, Apple began shifting their emphasis of the watch more towards health features. So one former Apple employee described the emails as a surprise, given that the Apple Watch wasn't developed to pick up heart rate irregularities. You know, at the time, it was just monitoring your heart rate to be more precise with fitness tracking. That's really what it was for. So they kind of turned this whole thing around. You know, when I open the show, I say it's most healthy device yet, and it's all because of this. So that's pretty cool that the customers have actually helped shape what the Apple Watch has become.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty quick shift too. I think between April 2015 and within 6 to 9 months, you know, early 2016, I think they were really focusing on the health already.
Right. Even the next version of the watch, Series 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Had that more of an emphasis, and it's been that way ever since. But yeah, that's kind of cool. They're saying that they also say that those emails also often help. Be nice if I could speak. Often help to maintain staff morale, especially for those employees who don't kind of interface with the public at all, you know, and they can't talk about what they're working on. That's good feedback for them, I guess, through these emails. So, Kay, hey, you have anything to say about the Apple Watch? You can send it to us, but you can also send it to Tim Cook. It might just change something. You never know.
I'm sure they get all kinds of emails from all kinds of different people. So, I think that you can look at it as motivation. You can also look at it as input. You can also look at it as hopefully constructive criticism. And it all helps as you develop your product.
Right. This next thing I want to talk about, this comes to us from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, who has a stellar reputation for being almost 100% accurate on his predictions. He's got someone on the inside of Apple who's given him secrets like this for years. And so anything Mark Gurman says is probably close to true, unless Apple changes their mind at the point he heard it was true. So, and according to Mark Gurman, Apple is testing a sleep tracking app for a future Apple Watch. Yay. That's good news. Now it doesn't come as much of a surprise because Apple bought the, that company Bedit a while back, the sleep tracking sensor company. And I kind of expected it in this last version of the watch.
In the OS. Seems like a logical progression.
And it didn't happen. So you could probably put good money on it next round of the OS and or the watch. Now, the company's been using, apparently, according to Mark Gurman, they've been using the sleep tracking feature for several months with testers at secret sites around Cupertino, around their headquarters. So according to people familiar with the work, if the functionality is successful in the testing stages, the company plans to add it to the watch by 2020. So maybe not even this year.
That would, yeah. So if they do the same kind of time cycle, hopefully you don't have to wait till September 2020. Maybe it'd be a spring 2020.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they could release it as just a software update similar to...
well, that's true, too. Yeah, just an upgrade, and it just has the app in there. That's true.
Like the ECG. Have to wait for like the ECG app. I mean, you had the sensor there, but the ECG app. It depends on how they're going to be tracking the sleep, I guess, and what they're doing with it. You know, the battery life has improved significantly with the watch. I think I've mentioned on the show many a time how... at least my particular method of using of tracking sleep and wearing the watch and not running out of battery is to simply charge it for a half hour or whatever right before bed, put it into airplane mode and turn on theater mode so it doesn't wake you up in the middle of the night, and use it only uses like 5% battery power all night, and then in the morning getting ready, just top it off on the charger for 20 minutes and you're good for the day. So I mean, it's not that much of an inconvenience right now to do it. Although I know some people try to go 2 days without charging their watch, which you couldn't do if you're using it at night, I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know why Apple hasn't come out with this yet.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, and I should know this and I should test it out. When you do what you do for theater mode and everything at night, can you set an alarm on your watch and it still vibrate?
Yeah. Now I have my alarm set to just vibrate. To not be
so it overrides everything else from a standpoint of not disturb and
your alarm still goes off, not a problem.
Okay,
yeah. And the reason you do theater mode is so that when you move your wrist, when you move your hand, it doesn't light up and wake you up in the middle of the night. Now, if you brush against the cover, you know, your pillow or something, sometimes that might set it off. That's kind of rare,
right?
But yeah, make sure I'm wearing a comfortable band, and I don't even know I'm wearing it. At night. I don't even feel it. Some people can't do that. For some people, it drives them crazy to wear a watch. They have to take it off at the end of the day. I guess I've been wearing one for so long, I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, as I've mentioned, I would have to kind of learn it. I take mine off every night, and I don't like the feeling of when I'm sleeping, but I could probably get used to it. As long as I did what you did, which, you know, all the precautions not to wake me up.
Right. It's those two simple things. You swipe up, tap the airplane mode, so you save battery power, and then tap the theater mode, and then put your hand over it, turn it off, you know, and you're good to go. Yeah. Make sure you set your alarm first. but yes. Even before doing all that, I always have my alarm set to just vibrate because I don't like the noise waking me up. I'm not counting on that. The vibration will wake me up. Also, I know certain watch bands I won't wear to bed. You know, they're too, with the big buckle and stuff like that.
Right.
That's a bit much. But these softer bands, even the flubber bands are fine. The nylon loop, the sport loop, that's very comfortable to wear at night. So
that's nice. And you wear your four or your other one to sleep?
My four.
Okay.
I'm really only using the three for... hazardous activity where I'm unloading a truck or moving stuff around that's big and heavy that I might slam it against something and damage it. I'm wearing the three, not the four.
That's right. You mentioned that a show or two ago.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, if it gets, it's already got scratches on it. If it gets a few more, I'm not that, that worried, but the other one I'm trying to keep, you know, nice, but, all right. What else is going on here? Oh, this was funny. This was really funny. We had mentioned that Nubia Alpha watch, that's that curved screen that goes around your wrist that they were going to release at the the mobile show that they just had. Well, it was released. And this is an article from Mashable, and it's by Raymond Wong. And the headline says, Nubia's Alpha Watch phone is the most ridiculous gadget at Mobile World Congress 2019. And he goes on to say, kudos to Nubia for literally bending a 4-inch display around a watch band to fit your wrist. But wow, the Alpha is ugly. It's beyond hideous. And the software, it's so terrible, I was left wondering why the Alpha even exists. He says, I hate to be the guy who awards any product the worst of the Mobile World Congress, but I think the Alpha earns it without competition. The Alpha is a perfect example of just because you can doesn't mean you should. And he's got a photo of it, and I have to admit, it is one of the uglier looking. It looks like something from a steampunk, you know, design with these big bulging metal pieces on the side.
Yeah. I immediately thought of something from like an old castle or something yeah. hanging from a chandelier.
It's like something out of Stargate, you know?
Yes.
It's huge too. It doesn't even seem like it fits the wrist. Anyway, so.
But I don't necessarily agree with that line unless he said it with tongue in cheek, because many people design something just because they can. And before you know it, it's an awesome product. So
yeah. Well,
I think it's kind of cool.
Well, that's what he said. He applauds him for doing it.
Yeah.
And I agree. This is the first step. And if this had simply been a prototype, that would have been fine. But the fact that they're touting it as the final product.
That's fair.
Makes you wonder about the design.
If you have a small wrist, like the one picture looks like a small wrist, it just engulfs you.
Yeah, it's just too much. But I'll put a link in the show notes so people can see what this looks like. It's a little silly. What else is going on? We have another activity challenge.
Yes.
Coming up, International Women's Day is the next activity challenge, and this will be March 8th. So from the time we're recording this, it's only 3 days away. So today's Tuesday, Wednesday. It's on Friday, right? March 8th.
That's correct.
And you'll get, let's see, what do you have to do? You have to complete 1 mile.
1 mile walk or run, I think, or wheelchair.
Or wheelchair workout on March 8th. If you complete that, you'll get the activity achievement. It will be unlocked on your phone. And it's available to Apple Watch customers globally because it's International Women's Day. So a lot of these are just U.S.-based
They are.
Activities. Yeah. This one
Some
is
of our holidays.
Yeah, this one's for everybody, which is great.
I'll nail that one pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't see it appearing yet on my phone.
I think I read it would be 24 hours. So you'll probably see it
Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Or maybe tomorrow or Thursday. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What's today? Yeah. I'm losing track of days, Tom.
Yeah. Okay.
Wednesday yeah, or Thursday. Yeah.
Right. So we got another one of those to look forward to. And then, I thought this was very interesting. And I don't think we've reviewed this yet. There's an app for the watch called FlickType. That's F-L-I-C.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, F-L-I-C-K-T-Y-P-E. Mm-hmm. It's a gesture keyboard for the Apple Watch. We did review one previously, a different one. But this one is just a different type of keyboard that's supposed to make things a little faster to type. This gesture-based system, I guess, of swiping to add a space and swiping the other way to delete, and just, I guess if you get really good at it, you can just kind of run your fingers across the screen pretty quick.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll review that at a later date. But what I thought was very interesting is this company, FlickType, has just launched an SDK for third-party app integration, which means developers can add this keyboard to their watch OS applications.
Yes.
So.
And you know what I noticed?
Yes.
Will Bishop's apps are on that list.
There are two of them, and we do talk about that in the interview that you'll hear next week. We did have a discussion about that, about putting that in there. It's in his latest version of those apps. He did it for Chirp and for Nano for Reddit, both of which we've reviewed here. So he's updated them. He's put that in there, which I still haven't had a chance to test because I haven't really gone through the FlickType yet. It's also in Wristbook for Facebook.
I mean, I like the watch chat for WhatsApp because I use WhatsApp all the time for my international chat.
Uh-huh. And the other one is TweetWatch for Twitter. So there's like five of them that's in
for Twitter
currently. I'm sure there'll be more down the road. So again, I'll put links in the show notes to all this stuff.
When you're going to respond, like if you need to type something, do you use Siri? Do you use a Scribble, or what do you typically do if you're just using your watch?
Scribble seems to if it's a short reply, I'll just do scribble. If it's a longer one, I'll do a dictation.
Okay. That's about what I'm at. I do.
Right. And if it's any longer than that, I'm going to take out my phone. I'm going to call someone. You know, I'm not going to bother typing out, paragraphs worth on the watch. Not really what it was intended for. What else is going on? Oh, this was kind of funny. But you can file this under dumb criminals, I guess. This is in Reading. Yes. I think it's in Pennsylvania. It says Reading. I assume that's Reading, Pennsylvania, maybe. Anyway, Reading police caught these two guys who had stolen some stuff from a house because of the Apple Watch that they stole. So this woman came home to find her door open. Her place had been kind of ransacked. Things like her Apple Watch were missing. She called the police. They tracked the Apple Watch. And apparently someone eventually turned it off. But where they tracked it to was the Walmart store. And she had seen a suspicious car across the street when she got home. She then noticed that car in the parking lot. And the police... they contacted the two men who were walking away from that vehicle, and these two guys denied the burglary. And then the officer saw the watch poking out of the back pocket of one of them. So they eventually caught him in enough lies that they ended up admitting the theft. she got her watch back, so that's good news.
Well, the moral of that story is technology helps you find something, but you still need some good old police work to make sure you got the right guys, I guess.
Yeah, but it never would have found their way to the Walmart without the watch. Yeah,
that's true.
Do people not realize that all this stuff can be tracked? I mean,
I think Tom, the answer is no, they don't.
Okay,
at least maybe not the watch. If you'd have stole a phone, they might have thought it. But heck, they might have not even thought they had an Apple Watch. They just thought they had a neat watch. It was really expensive or something.
Okay. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
You steal my watch. Okay. Let's assume you take it. How do you turn it off tracking? You can't unlock it, right? To turn that off. Can you turn the power off without unlocking it first? You can reboot it.
I think if you force, the digital crown and the side button and push them down together, wouldn't that shut down the watch no matter what?
That'll restart the watch. That's a force restart.
No.
But if I hold down the side button, I get the opportunity to turn it off.
Right.
But does that work if it's not unlocked? I've never tried it, so I don't know.
Yeah, either have I.
But, okay, I'm going to take my watch off right now.
Okay,
so it's locked. It's asking for the passcode. I'm not going to enter it. I'm holding the side button. And you can turn it off, power off.
Yeah.
So
that's what I thought.
Okay, so if that's the case, they should have turned it off immediately.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to say anything. Everyone can go look at the pictures of the people that did it and make their own decision. Okay. I'm not going to say anything publicly.
Okay. All right, fine. Just... dumb criminals. Here we go.
That's a moral of the story.
Yeah. There used to be a TV show, didn't there? Okay.
Yes.
All right. We talked about Tim Cook earlier. Let's talk about him again because he made news again this week during their, I think this was during their earnings report, the shareholders meeting. That's what it was, the shareholders meeting. Tim Cook said that Apple is planting seeds and rolling the dice on new products that will blow you away. Okay. A couple things wrong with that statement. Rolling the dice? That's not what Apple ever does.
No, that implies what, risk or something?
Yeah, implies we don't know. Let's throw it out there and see what happens. That's what all the competitors do. I mean, I understand planting the seeds and products that will blow you away. That doesn't sound like a very Apple approach to something. It sounds like he's trying to impress people with everything they're doing, that they're going to start taking more chances. I don't know. Maybe he just misspoke, but it's been quoted everywhere once he said it. And we don't know what he's talking about. Is he talking about, you know, the augmented reality glasses? Is he talking about the electric self-driving vehicles? Is he talking about the new, the premium news subscription or the original content streaming, you know, platform that they're going to do? He did say when it came to things like the MacBook Air, they're going to try to lower the price, to eventually lower the price, he says. And then he did say that Apple has a long, great roadmap on the horizon for its Apple Watch and AirPods. I am so happy to hear him say that. So
yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, Apple Watch is definitely one of their big successes. But yeah, I don't know, Tim. Rolling the dice. If it comes up snake eyes.
And those products are kind of different, right? Augmented reality glasses versus premium news subscription.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of risk in either of those products is quite different.
As is a self-driving vehicle.
So, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That would be rolling the dice.
That, yes.
Now, the other thing I've heard, I didn't mention this in our notes here. Sorry, Chris, but I did read a couple articles when it comes to that new original content streaming platform. Apparently, Tim Cook is getting a little too involved. There are rumors that he has started to make notes to the creatives about their content.
No kidding.
Specifically, what was the quote? It was, "Don't be so mean."
What?
That's his frequent response to a lot of the input or a lot of the content is to not be so mean. Hmm. So. I don't know, man. You have Netflix, which is doing fantastic with its creative content because they're hands off. They let the creators create their stuff. And that's why creators will sign a 5-year deal with Netflix because they have the freedom to do what they want to do. And that's where you get really great stuff. When you start doing this, like, you know, and this happens in all movie studios too. The executives come in and give their notes. You know, but apparently they've been changing writers. They've been doing all kinds of stuff. They're having problems with some of this content. So I don't know if he's trying to be Disney or what. But yeah, that happens a lot of different. How do you put this? A lot of input, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Creative input comes from executives in movie studios, which drives creative people crazy. And it's all, I don't know why they do it sometimes. And you have to wonder why something, you notice how a movie, they'll spend millions and millions of dollars on it, just turns out to be crap.
Yes.
It's usually because there's too many cooks, too many people with an opinion of how it should be and not one vision for it. And I can say that as a creative person, I know in a small scale what that's like. Having worked on something as small as a commercial, which is only 30 seconds long, but it's still a story you're trying to tell. And a lot of times the client will dictate and direct and change. And what was a really cool idea turns out to be, you know, kind of, you know, not so great. And the best ones are the ones where they just kind of leave you alone and trust you. So I'm a little worried to hear. I'm very worried to hear this because the last thing Apple needs right now is a bad launch of these shows. They need to be hits. And, you know, I don't know that that's the way you get a hit, but we'll see. Okay, what else is going on here? Microsoft. Okay, this is interesting. Remember the Microsoft Band? Not many people do. It came out.
No. When I saw this, I was like, I think I remember that, but I really don't.
Yeah, it came out several years ago in response, I think, to Apple Watch. And it never really went anywhere. Well, Microsoft is killing it officially, putting it out of its misery. They announced Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health Dashboard apps and services will be done on May 31st. So they discontinued the Band itself more than 2 years ago. But they've kept kind of support for existing users. Well, now that's going to end as well. All the apps are going to be removed from all the different Google Play, Microsoft, and Apple's App Store. I think existing users can still export their data before the end of May. So you could turn it maybe over to a different service or do something else with it. they can still record their, you know, daily steps, heart rate, workout, all of that stuff. But if you reset the device, you won't be able to reset it up again. That'll be it. Some of them may actually be eligible for a refund.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. So they're saying, active users who sync data between, December 1st of 2018 and March 1st of 2019, apply for a refund on their hardware. They're going to give you $80 for a band one and $175 for a band two.
Yeah, and that's not bad.
No, for a discontinued device.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
You need to buy one and put it in your archive.
Yeah, put it in the museum, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll wait a while. I bet I can get them on eBay real cheap. After May 31st, I'll get a great deal. A great deal on one. Yeah, I can put it next to my Zune. Next to the Microsoft Zune.
I don't remember this at all. Did we ever talk about it?
I think we did. I don't even know if you were on the show at the time.
I might have not been on the show. I was probably listening to the show, but I don't remember this at all. But you might have mentioned it once, and it obviously didn't stick.
Yeah, we talked about it when it came out, and it was kind of, it's like a day late, a dollar short, right? And what it did and how it looked, and I mean, it's pretty basic. And it's like I mentioned the Zune. It's just Microsoft tries to copy something, and they just don't quite get there with it.
Yeah, right.
And,
right. Exactly.
Anyway, they're going to put it out of its misery here in a little bit. What else is going on? Let's see. I think this is the last thing we'll talk about here. This is from 9to5 Mac. What's their name? Matt Birchler. He does this every year. He does a watchOS kind of concept. And this time he's imagining watchOS 6. And he's redesigned the Siri face. He's put new sleep tracking rings and a bunch of other little things here. It's very interesting. I actually kind of like some of these designs.
Me too. I like the Siri face. It's kind of neat.
The Siri face is very much, has a lot more information.
Yeah.
And I like the little tiny tiles of your open app kind of things.
A
chooser type thing. It's kind of cool. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see this. But he just mocked up some different ones. Not sure about the sleep tracking ring.
It just looks like a single ring, and I guess what's in the middle of your heart rate or something. Heart rate,
yeah. I think there's more you could do with that, but
Is that? I mean, like a fourth ring in your activities, maybe I could live with it. But then that makes that screen a little busy, doesn't it?
You know what? I think your activity ring could use another one.
Yeah.
I don't think it would hurt it that bad.
It wouldn't. I guess four is five might be a little busy, but you could actually do something. Or I'm making this up. Fill in the middle, right? You got the middle.
Right. You have the center, and you could just fill it in from the bottom up with sleep, you know? Different color or something. Who knows?
There you go. When you turn one of those things over, you're playing a game and the sand falls from the top to the bottom.
Right. Yeah. Just fill it up.
Yeah, just fill her up.
Let's see how you're doing with your sleep. But anyway, I like these concepts. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, people are creative, as you know, and it's cool to see those concepts. It may never come up that way, but it's really to see what's possible.
Right. All right. So let's move on to what we like this week. And I'll start here. A few episodes back, I mentioned, surprisingly, a new band that I had ordered that was a Blue Milanese Loop. Well, I've since received the band, and I've had some time to wear it, and it's pretty cool. I love how easy it is to adjust the Milanese Loop. You know, how they fit your wrist perfectly. I always love that design. But I've only seen them in black or silver, sometimes gold. So when I saw this blue one, I had to have it. It has a really nice fit and feel. The magnet is nice and strong. It doesn't slip. And the band itself, it feels more substantial than some of the other third-party Milanese loops I've had in the past. Some of them seem a little thin. This one seems a little more up to Apple's.
Yeah, that seemed to be the thickness. Negative. They were thinner.
Yeah, kind of, not flimsy is not the right word. They just didn't seem as substantial. I also noticed on this one that the magnetic clasp, that little metal end of the band, it has an indention or groove in the end of it, so you can kind of get your fingernail in there to get a better grip to release it. I hadn't noticed that before on any others, but I thought that was kind of nice. And also, I noticed that they had like 16 different colors for this thing, including some with patterns or images on them, which is very nice. Again, this is from the Ninth Company. So the next band I want to talk about here real quick that I've also been using lately is from the Ninth Company, and it's a denim band. So this is a really nice, it's got a smooth black leather back to it, and it has a leather loop for the end of your band, but it's a really, really slick looking denim look to it. It has silver adapters and buckle. I absolutely love this one. It's about $35 on their website. And the Melanese Loop one, I think, was about $30. And like I said on a previous show, this is now my new favorite spot for Apple Watch bands. They have a really great selection. They're very good quality. And I know this sounds like an ad, but it's not. I really just like their bands. So I'll put a link in the show notes for this. And again, their website is theninthcompany.com. So it's THE9THCO.com. But check them out. Just have a look at what they've got. I think you'll be pleased.
Very neat.
Yeah, very nice. So what are you liking this week, Chris?
Well, Tom, I think from my standpoint, I'm liking the fact that Apple stock is rebounding. And if you look at their business in general, you know, they had that drop, and then it's slowly moving itself way up. And I think with Tim Cook, even though he may have said some things like, you know, rolling the dice, at least they're putting the word out that they're trying to be creative and drive some new products. And I think the virtual reality glasses and the electric car, right? Those, we've talked about those a lot, and there's probably multiple companies out there. Well, there is multiple companies out there trying to do something. But it's good to see Apple trying to continue to look to expand their horizons, and I think that's a positive thing for them. And then I saw this thing on Facebook, which, again, I've talked about. I don't do much on Facebook, and most of the things I follow are companies, beer, and sports, right? I don't follow any people and have any friends. But it's a good way to use Facebook in a low-pressure situation. But there was just one thing I saw just recently that had, like, the top 10 market cap companies in the world, and it rolled through like a 3-minute progression of how they changed over the last 20 years. And you just saw Apple go boom, 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 up to the very top. And it was a really, really cool graphic. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that, or it's really hard to describe, but you saw how Apple kind of moved to the top and the creation and movement of new companies and some of the old standards that kind of moved down. So again, bullish on Apple for their stock, bullish on Apple for continuing to try to innovate and create new products and services. They're a little late to the game in some things, and if they can, you know, we talked last week or the week before about, you know, fixing Siri and making it a little more intelligent in their devices, I think they'll continue to drive the market. So I'm just, you know, happy to continue to see Apple, you know, do things that are creative and successful.
Yeah, it's, you know, we kind of latched on to what Tim Cook said about rolling the dice, but he did also say he's never been more optimistic about Apple. And I know he has to say that. He's the CEO, you know, he's got shareholders to answer to, but I really do think they may have some cool stuff coming. And I guess we'll have to wait and see, because their progression over the last couple of years has been steady, but slow. And
that's true.
You know, the last big thing they did was the watch and then the AirPods. And beyond that, there hasn't been a whole lot of changes, or at least major changes.
And I put my notes here about the AirPods. You know, the AirPods 2 are coming out. And if you look at the device, the way it's designed and what it's supposed to do, if they have a long-term strategy for AirPods, it's you wonder what that can be, because what can you do with two little things that stick in your ears? But then again, there might be some really creative people that will have some awesome things and in 5 years, you could maybe control everything you own with your AirPods, right? So I think that it'll be really interesting to see where they go with that product.
Yeah, we'll see. There's one other thing I wanted to mention here real quick, and I'm kind of looking it up as we as we talk here. It was for a here it is. Okay, sorry, I did find it. Andy Inoko, who's been on our show a couple of times,
yes, he has,
was on a podcast recently, and this was one of his picks of the week, and I use it. I've just been loving it. It's one of those few things you do where it just brings a smile to your face every time you see it. He found back at the Worldwide Developers Conference this past year, Apple showed their logo done by all these different artists. It was a little video, mm-hmm. and they're all changing mm-hmm. and moving and manipulating and just beautiful stuff. And that's all it was ever used for. Well, someone has found a way to take that, a video of that, and turned it into, I think his name is Pedro Carrasco, and he has turned it into a screensaver for your Mac.
Oh my gosh.
It is one of the most beautiful things to see. It's mesmerizing. So I'm just going to tell you how to find it and get it. It's called Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Just search Brooklyn and then GitHub, GitHub. You'll find a link for it. You download it. You have to, I guess, go into your security and give it permissions, right? Because it's something you've downloaded. And it's just beautiful. It is wonderful. So check that out.
Have you done it?
I'll put a link in the show notes. Yes. I did it. And then my daughter saw it and said, "Where'd you get that?" So I put it on her laptop and I put it on my other laptop. I've got it on three different devices now.
Is it the same kind of sequence and timing of the original video?
Yes. It's very quick. They animate and then go away and another one comes in just real fast. And they're just, it's unbelievable the variety of these. A dimensional logo, just the Apple logo done in all these different ways. And you can't tell that this was done from a video. It's just mm-hmm. really high quality.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. So that's the other thing, I guess, I forgot to mention what I like this week because it's pretty cool, pretty cool. Pretty cool deal. Okay, what else? You want to do? Let's do a couple of quick listener feedbacks here.
Sure.
Let's see. First one here is from Drew. Drew's a longtime listener here. Says, "I don't know if you've been getting reports of bizarre false fall detection, but I had one the other day that you'll like. I have a Keurig coffee maker, and instead of buying the pre-filled K-cups, I have a refillable one that I use. After I make a cup, I take the coffee pod to the trash, remove the lid, and while holding it over the trash can, clap my hands together several times to get the grounds out. While doing this the other day, I noticed a strange beeping that I couldn't locate. I stopped what I was doing, looked around for the source. I looked down at my watch. I saw that I was about to call 911 because it thought I had fallen and hadn't dismissed the alarm. Fortunately, I canceled the call in time to avoid having to explain to the dispatcher that I was only having coffee and wasn't in danger. At least now I know what the watch sounds like and what it does when it detects a fall." Drew, thank you for sharing that, Drew. That's pretty funny. And then I fall and it doesn't even go off. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this thing.
I'm just wondering, is Drew really tall and he's got a big arm span, wingspan? So when he did that, it just thought he was falling?
It must have been just the right exact mimic of the motion, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those strange things. And then kind of related to that here is this is a tip from Julian. Julian says, "Hi, a quick tip for the emergency function of the Apple Watch. This is how you can avoid calling 911 accidentally." I should say this for a tip show, but I want to pass this along. In the Apple Watch or in the Watch app on your phone, go to Emergency SOS and disable hold side button. Now you can still access the emergency function by holding the side button. However, you also have to slide the SOS button to the right to make the call. One of my colleagues called 911 while we were in a meeting because he had the watch on loosely and was holding the side button with the back of his hand or wrist. Everyone in the conference room could hear the dispatcher. I changed the setting after that event.
Wow.
Thanks for another great episode. Looking forward to more, Julian. Thank you for that, Julian. That's a great tip. And in fact, after reading your email, I immediately did that on my watch.
That's
a good idea. So, yeah, if anybody wants to do that, let us know if you've had an incident. We'd like to hear about it. And then go ahead.
I wonder what 911, what the data says now for Apple Watch 911 calls. I think we had a story about a month ago on that. So it's interesting that now the dispatchers are probably like, okay, it's an Apple Watch call. No problem. Thanks. Right.
Well, they do get a lot of them. And don't think they're very happy about it because we mentioned there was a big increase on the ski slopes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of people falling and not realizing that it was calling. So I guess I don't know if that's a good idea to turn it off or not before you go down to ski. you're probably going to need it in case something happens, right? But anyway, anything else before we – I have nothing clever planned here. Anything else before we end the show?
I think I'm good, Tom.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to a lot of the stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And look for that special interview with Will Bishop that we'll have out for you next week. I think it'll be out on Monday. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.